Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy, chapter number 8. Chapter number 8. We've seen God do a lot of miracles. God is doing great things in a lot of people's lives. There's some folks we need you to pray for this morning. And stand with me with your Bibles open. I believe this will help you. It's already helped me. The theme of everything we've done this morning surrounds what I'll be preaching today. Deuteronomy 8, if you're there, say amen. Amen. This is the fifth book of the Pentateuch. And when I say Pentateuch, I'm talking about the five books of Moses. This is the fifth book. The word Deuteronomy means the second law. And you say, well, why did he give them to them a second time? Well, you'll see here in just a moment. Deuteronomy 8, are you there? Go to verse 10 and verse 11. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Now notice this warning to this next generation, because most of them had already died in the wilderness that was above 20. And here's what he says to them. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I commanded thee this day. Our Father, we need you more this year than we needed you last year. We need your power and presence and purpose in our life. God, help me to be your messenger. And God, help this church. Lord, as we are a church that believes in spreading the gospel, that we'll be more effective than we've ever been in our life, and we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I've got a thought on my heart, and I hope I can communicate it to you this morning. It's actually a warning. Amen. You know, by the way, there's more preaching just than them Joe Osteen sermons. He don't even believe in sin. Hello. Some of you, you bowed your head just now. You must be one of his followers. I'll make you nervous before this week's out. Now, God's given a warning. The book of Deuteronomy, I said it already. It's the fifth book of the Pentateuch. It means the second law. The theme of the book is love and obey. By the way, that ought to be the theme of Christianity in your life, is God loves you, and since he loves you, you ought to obey him. Somebody say amen. See, love is mentioned 22 times in the book of Deuteronomy. And by the way, the word obey ought to be a reaction to what God and how God loved you. By the way, you can't keep the law to be saved. Somebody say amen right there. The law is just a schoolmaster. Am I preaching? The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And by the way, thank God, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. You're in this room this morning. You can't save yourself. You'll never be able to save yourself. But God Almighty can save you through his grace. Amen. The message was to the kids 20 and under, Chad, whose parents had died in the wilderness. And when he wrote the book of Deuteronomy, they were 1 month from going into the promised land. 1 month in going into where the blessings flowed. 1 month going into where God was going to give them the milk and the honey. And what God was saying to them was this: beware. Now that word beware means to keep watch, be on guard. You know, I want you to know something. There's a lot of folks in that last year, you know what your problem was? You wasn't on watch. You wasn't on guard. And the devil snuck in on you and done some work on you and messed you up. And I want to tell you, you need to beware and be on guard. Somebody help me preach. I sense some preach coming on this old man. And beware of what? And here's my message. I want to preach on don't forget God. Beware of not forgetting God. Man, how many of y'all agree with me 2018 went phew. I ain't never seen anything go fast that fast in my life. And I want to tell you, one of the greatest problems I see in our churches today and our people today and this independent fundamental Baptist church today, it's so easy for us to forget God. Come on now. You're not going into 2019 because you're doing it on your own. You're going into 2019 because there was a great God that was good to you in 2018. And you're not just waltzing in. You're going in because of his mercy. And you're going in because of his goodness. And you're going in because he's been faithful. Whew. Amen. You know, they ain't none of us forgot our list during Christmas. We had our list. We remembered everything. My wife, she said, now don't forget them and don't forget them and we got to get a gift for them. I said, ain't they too old for gift? And we got to get them and we got to get them and don't forget anything. And we like that. Like, oh, hey, we don't like to forget anything. Mostly the stuff that's meaningless. Come on, help me preach right there. But I'll tell you, there's one we ought not to forget. And that's God. I remember the story of Oliver Cromwell when he was getting a painting of himself. And you know, a lot of folks, if they get a painting of themselves, they want to kind of make sure that they do away with them wrinkles and do away with them. And Oliver Cromwell, you know who he was, had some warts on his face. Had some wrinkles, And he told the painter, you paint it just like it is. All the warts and all the wrinkles. And you know what some of you need to realize? You've still got warts and wrinkles. And you still got some mess in your life. And you need God more right now than you've ever needed him in your life. Somebody say amen right there. We need God. Hey, we need to remind the reins of our brains that we are not able to sustain ourselves, that we cannot make, you cannot make it on your own. You may think you can, but you need a thrice holy God, a miracle working God, a powerful God, a God that's on time, a God that's there all the time, that never leave you nor forsake you, go all the way with you. I'll give you four things and I'll let you go home. And look at verse number 11. I want four things we ought to remember, Chad. And the first three, you ought to shout it out. Number one, we ought to remember his great sovereignty. Look what it says in verse number 11. Beware that thou forget not what? The Lord thy God. Now you got your Bible, so you're in Deuteronomy. Just flip back a page. Will you do it? You got your Bible? Flip back a page. Go to verse number 4 of chapter 6. If you're there, say amen. Look what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, or one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And with all thy might. First of all, we need to remember his great sovereignty. The word Lord there means his supreme position. God wasn't voted in, so he can't be voted out. And the liberals are already saying they're going to vote out or impeach President Trump. Well, you may impeach him, but you can't impeach God. Somebody help me preach right there. He's sovereign. That means he's outstanding. That means he's royal. That means he's ruler. That means he's a chief. That means he's the greatest. Then you know what some of you have forgot? You forgot how great God was. You've laid down on the job, and you've got to remember God's a sovereign God. That means he controls everything.
Amen, preacher.
Am I preaching? But look at that verse. It says, verse 4 again, the Lord our God is one Lord. Not only does it speak of his supreme position, but that word God there means his self-existent personality. Whew. No one created him, but he created everybody. Nobody made him, but he made you. Hey, nobody got him started. But I can't go without him starting me. Somebody help me preach. We need to remember his sovereignty. He is God. He's royal. He's everything. Boy, oh boy, I'm looking at somebody. Have you forgot him? Have you forgot about how good he is? How wonderful he is? How outstanding he is? How many of y'all been in a mess out of your control, and it was so messy that nothing could fix it but God fix it? Somebody raise your hand. How many of you have experienced one of God's miracles in the last year? Raise your hand. You know what? We ought to, well, glory. You said, how'd that happen? Because he's in control, because he's sovereign, because he's almighty. Whew. Hallelujah. Secondly, go back to chapter 8 and look at verse 14. I want you to hear this. Chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. Not only remember his, remember God, his great sovereignty, but you need to remember his gracious salvation. Somebody ought to shout with what I'm about ready to say. You're not going to hell anymore if you're saved. And let me give you a bonus. Not only are you not going to hell, but you are going to heaven. Man, I don't think y'all got that. Some of y'all jump back there going, did you have too much eggnog last night? You're not going to hell. You're not going to burn forever. You're saved by the grace of God. You're washed in the blood of Jesus. You're sealed to the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What was Egypt? It was a place of sin's corruption. It was a place of a slavery's control. It was a place of struggling conflict. You know what some of us need to do, Chad? We need to go down memory lane. Somebody help me preach. We need to take a stroll. Are you new? You with her? Watch her, okay. Good to have you. We need to go down memory lane. How many agree with me? We need to go down memory lane and remember when we was in Egypt. And remember when we was under the slavery of sin and when we were so corrupt, but yet God put the blood on the lintels of our heart and we were washed in his blood and we were delivered out of Egypt. Man, oh 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 glory. Am I preaching? See, here's the problem. You know what? Some of you ain't got the juice anymore. You done forgot where God brought you from. You forgot the hole he brought you out of. You forgot all the skeletons that were in your closet that he forgave every one of them. Whew. Hallelujah. Do y'all really know how big salvation is? If you're not saved, you better hear all this. You know how big salvation is? I couldn't save myself. By the way, if you're in this room and you think you can save yourself, you're going to hell. Baptism won't save you. Buddha won't save you. Taking a trip to Mecca won't save you. Somebody help me preach. Muhammad won't save you. But I will tell you, there is one who will save you, that will redeem you, that will help you. I'm saved. He redeemed me. I ain't forgot that. Amen. Old Bill Lamont back there is one got me interested in going to church. Hey, Bill, I ain't forgot the night he redeemed me. He not only did he redeem me, he justified me. Declared me righteous. And if that wasn't enough, he adopted me into his family. Whew. And then not only that, he sanctified me once and for all on the inside, and he sanctified me progressively on the outside. And one of these days, I'm going to get a new body just like his and be sanctified all the way. And this one right here blows my mind, Chad. You might even want to shout on this. And he also glorified me.
Amen.
You say, no, 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 he did not. He did not glorify you. You don't have no new body. You don't have your glorified body. So he ain't glorified you. You the same old, same old. Well, you ain't read the Bible lately. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, who? I don't mean to sway, but this about knocked me off my feet. Then he also glorified. You want God to see it? He's already got my new body laid up. Hey, by the way, you said, well, that, then if all that's true, if you're already going to have a new body and you're already as good as you're into heaven and God glorified you, that does that mean you can't be lost? I'm glad you got that. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He redeemed me. He justified me. Somebody help me. He adopted me. He sanctified me. He's already glorified me. How in the world can I go to hell if I'm already glorified? Hey, some of you ought to get some shout on you right now. You know what your problem is? You forgot about that. That's an ancient memory to some of you. You want to give you real revival this year? You want to perk you up and give you some hope for this year? Is to remember where God brought you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Man, I got to move on. I thought I'm going to stay about an hour right there. Hey, by the way, if you're in this room lost, he said, come unto me all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. The best thing that ever happened to you today is for you to get saved. Amen. Whew. And your whole problem is you forgot God in your life, and you shoved God out of your life, and you've made him second place in your life, and there's never been any room for God in your life, and you forgot him. You need to get him in your life today. Amen. Number three. Y'all still with me? It's good stuff, isn't it? Look at verse 15 again. This right here, it helped me, Chad. Look what it said. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to get to do thee good at the latter end. Whew. I don't know about you, that makes me want to shout. Remember his generous supply. Four things there. His constant protection. Hey, by the way, you living today, because you're able to breathe and go into 2019 because he protected you. You know, how many of y'all take it for granted when your kids get on a school bus every day and head out on the road every day, and you take it for granted when they go to their school? Hey, you ought to praise God. God brought them back safely to you. God, somebody help me preach. Then we need to remember his continuous provision. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4, chapter 8. He said, thy raiment wax not old upon thee, neither do thy foot swell these 40 years. Wow. You said, what did he provide? My necessities. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Y'all do know that I am in the Guinness Book of World Records, don't you? I am. On the most weight lost and most weight gained. I'm there. Can you imagine in the wilderness, they had their clothes for 40 years and they never got old. And if they gained weight, they stretched. Y'all get that in a minute. Could you imagine how God was? See, he gives you your necessities. You know what? We got so many big wants. Some of us ought to shout that he give us our necessities. Then verse 16, he gave us our nourishment, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna. You say, well, I work for everything I got. No, you only work because God put breath in your lungs so you can work. Amen. He nourished you. Then verse 17 and 18, his capable power. Look at it. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand have got me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power. Somebody help me. You say, well, I work hard. The only way you can work hard is God helped you work. He gave you power. He energized you. Somebody help me. You just didn't luck out. I don't believe in lucking out. You got a providential sovereign God looking over you with capable power and compassionate prosperity. You know, some of us, not only has God given us our necessities and our nourishment, he's went beyond that and made us prosperous. Whew. Amen. Some of you ever been, some of you may not know how to be raised on the tough side of the park. I was. Did you know I never ate a pizza till I was 14 and a half years old? Didn't have no money to buy a pizza. I didn't know what a steak was. I didn't know anything like that. And it don't take anything for me to want to go down to Pizza Hut. Knock me down about two large pizzas with pepperoni and hot banana peppers. And somebody help me, I'm hungry. And has God been good? Last thing, I'm done. Now, you shouted about God's sovereignty, didn't he? And you shouted about God's supply. And you shouted about God's saving you. But number 4, and I want to finish with this, we need to remember his godly standards. See, God's standards, and he still has requirements. Somebody say amen. He's been so good to you, and you ought not to be a mess. There's some of you in this room, you started 2019 like you did 2018, and a mess. And God's been too good for you. And some of you are too crazy. Playing around with something you shouldn't play with. Somebody help me preach. Two things, and I'll give you this, and I'm done. Verse 14. Then thine heart be lifted up. I'll tell you what he wants. He only wants that your life, my life, brother. Humility. Don't let your heart be lifted up. You may have more money than somebody in this church, but you ought not be lifted up. You may have more fangs than other people in this church, but you ought not let your heart be lifted up. Somebody help me. We got to stay humble. How many believe we need to remember where God brought us from? Then verse 15. Not a humble humility, but holiness. Look what he said in verse 15. Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there were no water, who brought thee forth. Then look at verse number 19. And it shall be, if thou forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall perish. Wow. Somebody help me. You know what that word perish means, Chad? It doesn't mean what you think it means. Not ceasing to exist. Jeff, that's not what it meant. Here's what it means. It means to be brought to naught, or your progress is stopped. Now it's quiet in here. The last thing you want is your progress to be stopped. Teenager, the last thing you want is your progress to be stopped. Parents' progress, children's progress. See, if you forget God, you hear me. God's going, you're going to perish. I'm not talking burn up. I'm not talking about being annihilated. You're going to be brought to naught. You know what that means, Brother Denny? That means ain't you ain't good for nothing. And people done lost all respect for you. And they want to hear what you have to say. I know it got quiet in here. Because see, we want to shout about our salvation, Lois. And we want to shout about our supply. And we want to shout about his sovereignty. But we want to talk. We don't want to be talking about no standards. Why did it die in here?
Amen, preacher. It's good preaching.
Can I give you something and I'm done? A pastoral thought or two. I'm going to tell you four things we're not going to do this year and four things we are going to do. Okay? Y'all ready? We're not going to go contemporary. Now, what that means, Lois, I'm not next Sunday coming to the pulpit with flip-flops on and some cut-up jeans and me a little t-shirt and me a real pretty necklace. It ain't happening. We ain't going to have a Saturday night relax session. Hold it. Good preaching, Reverend. Not only were we not going to go contemporary, but we ain't going charismatic. See, we're not going to have emotionalism over education. We're not going to prop up music over the message. And listen to this, we're not going to prop out working the crowd instead of giving them Christ. Anybody can work the crowd. I can tell you a big, long, sad story and work your emotions and get you to come up here and get just a little tingle. We ain't need no little stir. We need a change. We need our heart changed, not just a little tingle. That's good preaching. We're not going carnal either. And we're not going to compromise our ministry, our mission efforts, our modesty, our marriages. It's not Adam and Steve, it was Adam and Eve. I know them nine people up at the Supreme Court declared that, but listen, the Bible doesn't declare that. The Word of God don't declare that. And I'll tell you this, while I'm shucking the corn. Y'all said, what's shucking the corn? That means I'm getting down at it. You Southern girls know what's shucking the corn. And we ain't going to compromise about this manual. I don't know if y'all saw a post I put. I don't put very many posts on, but I put one on just to show you a little example of what people are doing. Oh, you say, well, I like the NIV. Well, I know why you like it, because it's wimpy. It's got 66,000 less words, left out whole passages. You say, well, I just need something easy to read. No, you need the Holy Ghost to help you read. See, what's thee mean? What's thee mean? Tell me. Thee. Yeah, what's thee mean?
Thee?
Thee. T-H-E-E.
I don't know, the.
Thee and thou?
Oh, thee.
Thee, yeah.
You.
Huh?
You.
Right. Who's thou?
Them.
Them. Now, did you understand that? Thee means you, and thou means them. I don't need no other manual to tell me that.
Apparently I do.
That's all right, Brother Chad. You don't. You're all right. It's just I wasn't clear. Now I'm clear. See, you know what our problem is? We want to forget God. But you say, preacher, what are you going to remember this year? I'm giving my State of the Union. Here it is. Four things that we are going to do. We're going to go after Christ's likeness. Number two, we're going to go after converts. Somebody say amen. Number three, we're going after character. And number four, we're going to go after commitment. Amen. You know what? Let me ask you this. What made you stop? What made you stop serving God? What took the thrill out of your life? Come on now. I know I'm 2 minutes over. You'll be all right. What took the thrill out? What made you stop? What's made you so that you don't have any conscience about your sin? I'll tell you what it is. Beware that you forget not God. Am I preaching? Now I'm done. There's a bunch of you in this room lost. You know what you've done? You've left him out of your life. He's not in your life. You're not saved. You know what you need to do today? You need to trust Christ. You need to get saved. You need to know God. You need to get right and let God take your life. And if you're guilty last year of not letting God have full reign and not letting him rule, you know what I'd like to see you do? Come around this altar today and not just get a tingle. Listen to me. Not just get a tingle. Get a change. How many of y'all used to preach? I've been older before and I got me a tingle. But you didn't change. We need real revival. Amen. Bow your head with me. I'm finished. Man, oh man. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many will raise your hand and say, I know I'm saved? Raise your hand up. Amen. How many of you in here that know you're saved have let some things slip and you haven't remembered God the way you ought to? And you need a fresh revival this year in your life. How many slip up your hand and say, pray for me? All over the house, Christians. Come on. Amen. People already coming praying. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I couldn't raise my hand to say I'm saved. But man, I need to be saved. I want what you preached about. Folks are coming to pray. You can come on. Just slip up your hand and say, I've never been saved, but I want to be. Just raise your hand up. Never been saved. I see that hand. Somebody else. Never been saved, but I want to be saved. I want to know God. Slip it up. Slip it up. I'm not sure I'm saved, preacher. Been a long time. I'm not sure I'm saved. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I need to be sure. God bless you. Stand with me. You raise your hand. Been a little guilty of forgetting God, leaving him out. Won't you come around this altar? us all join together. Don't be afraid of it today. Let's have a revival. Come on, let's sing.
Have thine own way, Lord.
I'm done.
Have thine own way.
Folks are coming praying. Folks coming praying.
Thou art the potter.
Yeah, man.
I am,
yeah, man,
the clay.
Hey, some of you come up and pray with Julie Blake. She's been going through some stuff. Pray for her. Yes, come on. Say, preacher, I need a miracle in my life. I need God more than I ever needed. Come on out of there. Preacher, I need a miracle. Preacher, I need God. Amen. Amen.
Have thine own way, Lord.
God bless you, man. Preacher, I need a miracle. I need God's touch. Maybe it's a miracle of healing. Maybe it's a miracle of your home being restored. You need a miracle. Yes.
Filled with thy power till all shall see.
Bless the Lord. Blake, let me pray for you, Father. Oh, yes, he's real. He's real. Yeah, man. That's some of you need to get a change. Come on, you need something. You said, preacher, you're supposed to be done 10 minutes ago. Holy Ghost said, stay with it. We ought to get out of the ritual. We need to want him here.